The Royal Man Report, presented by Kelly's Westport Inn, with Casey Royal Man, Mike Engel, and fake Ned Yost, produced by Aaron Gnerk. Outro by Andre and the Giants. And now, The Royal Man Report.
Good news, Kansas City. The Royals did not lose today. The Chiefs did not lose today. The bad news is neither team actually played.
Aww.
So, how's everybody doing out there? This is the Royal Man Report. I am Mike Engel. I'm hosting tonight because Troy is on assignment in Toronto doing some roller derby stuff. I'm joined in studio with Chris Kamler.
Michael Engel.
You know him as fake Ned Yost.
Hi, Michael Engel.
Hi. I'm also joined by Jeff Herr.
I'm not nearly as funny in my intros as fake Ned is.
Very few are in looks or in quality.
Ka-ching!
Ka-cha-cha. So, fake Ned, you may also check out ramblingmorons.com. He does a little side project over there. They had their second show today.
Spinoff show.
Spinoff completely unrelated.
It's like when Joni loves Chachi, or when Joni, when Harry met. Hi, Michael Engel. Let's start it over again.
Joni loves Chachi.
Thank you.
Well before my time.
We are the Joni loves Chachi to Troy Olsen's Royal Man Report.
You know, that actually sounds about right.
I think so. We've got a really cool show tonight. Our special guest, starting in the second segment, is one of the newer Royals of the offseason, Ryan Verdugo, who came over in the Melky Cabrera trade, is going to be our guest tonight. He's formerly of the San Francisco Giants. So he was also just recently added to the 40-man roster earlier in the week. Very good news for him and for the Royals. He's on Twitter. You can follow him at TeachMeToDougie11, D-U-G-I. He's really active on there. Pretty good follow. A lot of funny tweets. Kind of random stuff. You know, kind of what you expect from a lot of ball players, because that's kind of what they do. They've got a lot of free time right now, so they go out there and they tweet. Last week, we talked a lot about starting pitching. Specifically, we talked a lot about like Carlos Zambrano. We talked a lot about Mark Burley. Some other guys like Chris Capuano, Gavin Floyd, John Danks. Potential trade targets and free agent signing possibilities. So you'll want to check that out if you're at all interested in any of that hot stove stuff. We also talked a little bit about the Jonathan Papelbon signing in Philadelphia and what it possibly might mean for the Royals. In other words, is Joaquin Soria maybe somebody who we could trade? Talked about just about everything else. One side note, we were going to have Sam Sepinaro from the K-Crew in studio today, but she was unable to join us. We're going to try to get her in the next few weeks. So if you tuned in specifically for her, well, I'm sorry.
Hi!
You get Chris Kamler and No Shave November.
My boobs are bigger.
That is not verified.
To the Google. Throwback. Some other news during the week. Eric Cosmer finished third in the Rookie of the Year voting behind Jeremy Hellickson, who was the winner. Mark Trumbo got second place. I don't know if there are any surprises to any of that, but a lot of Kansas City fans feel a little bit slighted that Hosmer didn't finish higher. What do you guys think?
Well, he only played half a year. So, right. No, I think he's fine.
Yeah.
I tweeted that a World Series ring is a little bit more important than a Rookie of the Year.
Right, exactly.
In my ballot, which does not exist, but I like to do on my own.
You've got it in your pocket, don't you?
Is that weird that I sleep underneath my pillow every night? No, I had Hellickson winning the whole thing. I don't think that's too much of a surprise. I think Hosmer was deserving, but mm-hmm. don't necessarily see it as a surprise, surprise that he didn't win.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm with Chris. MVPs, World Series championships, I'll take those over winning Rookie of the Year. We've
right.
had Rookie of the Years before and got nothing for
they
it.
They didn't
so.
Really turn out very well. Well, yeah. we got Mark Tien for Carlos Beltran.
That's true.
I think it just reinforced your point.
I neglected to mention the massive haul that was Mark Tien for Carlos Beltran.
We turned him into Chris Getz. So
just keeps getting better, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's called the law of diminishing returns. Keep making trades, and there you go.
I was told there'd be no math.
Also, some other news. The Royals reportedly were meeting with the agent to Roy Oswalt. That's according to Jerry Krasnick of ESPN. They were also linked, along with about 12 other teams, to Mark Burley. That's according to Jim Bowden, also of ESPN. Two pretty big name starting pitchers that are out there that are both free agents. I put an article on Kingsley Kaufman saying that the Royals should sign both. The likelihood of that is probably about as likely as me starting at first base next year for the Royals. It's not very good. But in theory, those are two guys, two former All-Stars, two Cy Young candidates, two guys who can throw 200 innings a season. What that gives you is Luke Hochaver is your number three starter instead of your opening day starter. So I think that's a benefit. But again, the likelihood is pretty low at this point. They're both going to be probably $30 million combined for a year. So the Royals are going to have to pay, and they're going to have to outbid probably 10 other teams in both cases. But that's kind of the big rumors. It's been kind of a slower week. The Arizona Fall League finished up. Will Myers was featured in the AFL Championship game yesterday. He didn't have a great showing, but he had a good showing through the whole league. So that's a good thing. Speaking of Will Myers and other prospects, we're going to be having a special show with Kevin Goldstein as a guest. He, of course, is of Baseball Prospectus. He does the Up and In podcast along with Jason Parks, who we had a couple of weeks ago, which was very cool. So we're going to have him. We're actually going to talk to him tomorrow. Is that right?
Tomorrow, I think it broadcasts later.
Yeah, we're probably going to try to put that out on Sunday to give you something to listen to. Just because programming notes, we won't be here in studio live on Sunday because it's Thanksgiving.
And we don't want to.
Yeah. We're going to take a week off.
If whenever we do have that up and running, which I do believe will be Sunday. Should tune in because Goldstein's going to be a good guest. That's going to be a lot of good stuff there.
He's not the biggest. I've listened to a couple of his shows. He's not as high on the Royals as Professor Parks has been.
Exactly. And I think that's why it's going to be interesting because we hear so much pumping up this Royal system. It'll be good to hear someone who's kind of a little bit more down to earth. And, whether people agree with him or not, it's always good to hear that other side, too.
I can't lie and say that I don't have Royal blue-colored glasses sometimes because I've been a fan of this team since I was 5 years old. And that's a long time at this point. So, I can't help when I get any small amount of press to get really excited about it. He's a little more realistic. He's more objective. And he's basically detached from the situation. He doesn't have to be somebody who's going to talk about the Royals all the time because he talks about everybody else. He's going to be kind of the wet blanket, I guess, on the Royals parade, I guess. I don't know. But that's going to be really cool. Some other things going on. I think the winter meetings are going to be starting first week of December. So that's when you're going to start really hearing all the rumors. Last year, I tried to make a list of every beat writer I could find for the majors and every national writer just to keep up because it's such a crazy week. Yeah. It's like 4 days of just everything, like rumors of all kinds. Last year, of course, the Royals signed Jeff Francoeur and Melky Cabrera. During the winter meetings, they were in discussions with probably 5 to 7 teams about Zach Greinke before eventually trading him. So I'm not sure. I don't know if there's anything that we're going to see quite that big this year for the winter meetings, but I think it would definitely be interesting because the Royals do have some spots to fill and they have, holes to cover, and we'll see. They've got the prospects to trade off, that's for sure.
We need pitching. Correct. Whatever gets us more pitching, I'm for.
Pitching is good. Jonathan Sanchez is going to be, I guess, our number two starter if we're talking about the rotation. That's an improvement.
Behind Chen or behind?
Probably behind Hochaver. I mean, we still have to go out and sign Chen. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. It seems like he's been talking with the Cubs quite a bit. I don't know. I mean, the Royals are definitely interested, but I don't know if they're going to give him the extra years that he wants.
And I think barring any sort of a bigger deal where we get a Roy Oswalt or a Mark Burley, something like that, Hochaver is going to be that number one guy going into next year. Just because, regardless of, hopefully you turn the corner, but regardless of how his past performance has gone, he's going to eat a lot of innings. He's going to give you around 200 plus innings. So they're going to put him out there in front, especially with – you know, Sanchez, who knows what's going on, mm-hmm. and then the younger pitchers that we have, and who knows, you know, maybe if we don't sign somebody else, maybe somebody else younger is coming out of breaking camp with the team. Maybe Mike Montgomery puts it together. Maybe yeah. Nate Adcock, they give him a shot. You know, who knows? So I think they're going to want that experience up there in front. So unfortunately, we're going to have another opening day with Luke Hochaver. But hopefully, it's fortunately this year.
Right.
And he really only gives up that one bad inning. The problem is that bad inning is 8 runs, and you're down 8-2.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's fine. I can handle that.
Yeah, yeah. Just make sure that if he could tell us when that bad inning is going to come, that's going to be a lot better.
Well, it's going to come in the third or the fourth. I'm just letting you know.
If only it could be like those graphs in algebra that you used to do where you had the outliers, like take away the best and the worst. I mean, I think he'd be a Cy Young candidate right there.
We got the new pitching coach, so he's going to be all fixed by spring training.
There you go.
Maybe he
solve
can
all
lobby
our problems.
Somebody. Let's put that in the new CBA. We do can it. Take out the worst Luke Hochaver inning of every start.
Yes. Just drop your highs and your lows.
The Hochi rule.
Right.
Drop the Russian judge and the Korean judge.
Yeah.
Just go with the average score.
Yes.
Indeed.
Stick around. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Ryan Verdugo, newly of the Kansas City Royals. We'll see you on the other side.
We're excited to have an exclusive interview with the new iPhone 4 assistant, Siri. Hello, Siri. How are you doing today?
Thank you. It's nice for me to be here.
Siri, you've been pretty busy with the new iPhone launch. What do you do for fun?
It's just been crazy around here. I've been looking for a place to get away and wind down, but I have not been able to find anything my style on the plaza.
Well, have you tried Kelly's Westport Inn?
I show Kelly's Westport Inn to be at the corner of Westport Road and Pennsylvania Avenue.
Got way more than that. It's been voted by The Pitch as one of the best places to meet guys in Kansas City. It's got a great laid-back vibe, plenty of TVs to watch sports, an awesome pizza place in the back, and plenty of drink specials during the week.
You say it's a nice place to meet guys? Accessing. This sounds like the place for me. Shutting down now.
You can't shut down. If you want to meet Siri and other great Kansas Cityans, check out Kelly's Westport Inn, 500 Westport Road in beautiful, laid-back Westport. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
And welcome back to the Royal Man Report. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. My name is Mike Engel. I'm joined with Fake Ned Yost and
Hello.
Jeff Herr here in studio. And we're in our second segment. You can follow us on Twitter at Royal Man Report anytime. Send us email at royalmanreport@gmail.com. But let's get down to business. Today we have a special guest. We have on the line left-handed starting pitcher, or I guess starting last year, relief pitcher otherwise, Ryan Verdugo, now of the Royals. Ryan, how's it going?
Good. How are y'all doing?
Doing pretty good. Welcome to the Royals.
Yeah, thank you.
We were talking a little bit earlier that you were just added to the 40-man roster earlier in the week. How's that feel?
It's a pretty big accomplishment. You know, I got that phone call, and it was a pretty exciting thing to know that, you know, all the stuff I've worked for since I was a little kid is starting to pay off now.
Very cool. And what's it like to be traded? I mean, everybody here at the table in the studio, we've got, you know, the regular 8-to-5 jobs. They don't really trade us between offices. What's it like when you get that announcement, when someone, you know, comes up and tells you that you're going to another team?
It's a little weird. I was actually playing golf with my dad, and I got a call from Bobby Evans from the Giants, and he goes, "Ryan, I got some bad news for you." And in my head, I was like, "Oh man, hopefully I'm not getting released." And he goes, "Well, you just got traded to the Kansas City Royals in a deal that we had worked out." I was just kind of shocked, and it didn't really hit me until later on that night that you know, I wasn't with the Giants anymore. Going to go back and see a lot of my friends in spring training and all that stuff. It was just kind of a, I don't know, something different.
Ryan, once you get that, and you said it didn't kind of set in for a little bit, but once it does kind of set in and you kind of look forward, how do you kind of reconcile that being traded? Do you get the feeling of, oh, you know, this team didn't want me, or do you feel like, oh man, the Royals really wanted me? You know, they wanted me a part of this deal, and now I'm excited. Like, what was your kind of feeling when you went through that process?
I mean, I didn't think that they didn't want me. It's a business, and you kind of have to understand that they're trying to put themselves in the best position to win. But then at the same time, I was excited about it because obviously the Royals had interest, or they weren't just gonna trade for someone that they didn't really, you know, have any interest in. So I didn't really feel like they didn't want me, but it's still kind of a weird feeling. going, and it took a while to set in. I don't really know if it still has.
Looking now that you're on the Royals, you're on the 40-man roster, there's, you know, probably a chance that you could be up in the major leagues next year. You know, what makes you really excited looking forward in 2012 being a part of the Kansas City Royals? I know you probably didn't know much before you got traded about the organization, but what do you see that kind of makes you excited to be a part of it now?
I mean, I'm excited for, like, a whole new season. You know, obviously it's a new team, and I want to prove that, you know, I have the ability to make it to the big leagues and hopefully, you know, stay there. So, and then being added to 40-man, it just kind of starts putting that all that you actually do have that chance, and you're just a phone call away from being up in the big leagues. It makes this offseason, the training, go a little, you know, easier and not as monotonous.
What's it like how much contact have the Royals had with? Have they been talking to you about any kind of changes that they're looking to do, or any kind of, you know, different team philosophies that maybe you haven't been accustomed to with the Giants for so long?
I mean, not too much. I just got back this week. I went out there. I think I flew out Monday morning, and I got back Wednesday night. I went out to the facility in Arizona, and I worked out there for a couple of days. Met the strength coach and some of the other guys, and then, you know, they just kind of showed me their way of doing things out there, and they wanted me to get used to that. So, I mean, I've talked to them in some parts, but they haven't really told me of any changes or anything really like that are that significant.
Now, with the Giants, a lot of times you were used as a reliever, but you've also been a starter. Do you have a preference to, you know, anything that maybe suits the way that you pitch, or do you just want to be on the mound and get any chance you have?
Yeah, I mean, I got used to being a reliever those first couple of years that I was in the minor leagues, but then they asked me to start, and I really have no preference. Like you said, it's just about being out there and being on the mound and just getting that chance to go out there every day and compete.
So you don't subscribe to the philosophy that you have to have a reliever's mentality? Relievers are a little off the wall, especially the left-handed relievers. That would be
I'd say probably the only one that has to be a little different would be the closer.
That's true.
I don't really think you want a normal person to be a closer. It just doesn't make stuff.
That's probably right. Yeah.
A lot of the Royals fans might probably don't know that much about you. So as far as your pitching style and kind of what's your biggest strengths? Like, what are you going to bring to the table for the Royals that you can kind of let the fans know? Like, what's the best part of your game?
You know, I'm just going to go out there. I'm not the biggest guy. I don't always, you know, I'm not going to go out there and throw 100 miles an hour, obviously, but I'm going to go out there and I can compete, and I'm going to give everything every time I go out there. I kind of have that bulldog kind of mentality out there on the mound.
Now, we need it.
Yeah.
That is it.
Yeah, I don't know how much you've seen of the Royals, but it's starting to turn the corner. We've got a lot of young bullpen arms now, a lot of guys, you know, Lewis Coleman and Kelvin Herrera and Greg Holland, a lot of guys who made their major league debuts last year or the year before. So it's definitely a young team, and it's you know, a team that's kind of gelling together. When you change teams, or when you move up to different levels, what kind of adjustments do you go through to kind of fit in with that different clubhouse?
There's not too many adjustments. I mean, you got to deal with like some of the razzing, or, you know, carrying a pink backpack or something like that, usually if you're a newer and especially a younger guy. But I mean, usually all the guys are pretty cool, and they've been in that position before to be the first to like come up to a new team. So I mean, it's not too bad. There's not that many adjustments. It's just getting used to a new routine, obviously, because you're going to be around a whole different group of guys, so there's a whole new routine involved with it.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw anything from last year, but the Royals had, at the major league level at least, the newest person in the bullpen had to wear a Justin Bieber backpack. So that might be something you have to look forward to if you make it up. And then at the end of the year, everybody dressed up as superheroes. So fair warning, if that makes you kind of take the pedal off the gas a little bit, if you don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, no, I mean, if to be in the big leagues, if I have to carry a Justin Bieber backpack, then so be it.
Right, exactly. I do it too.
Exactly.
Now, with your time with the Giants, you've been a flying squirrel, you've been a volcano, uh-huh. You've also been a green jacket. Possible you may start the year at AAA to be a storm. What's it going to be like to be a storm chaser after being a flying squirrel, a volcano, and a green jacket?
I mean, different name. I mean, I don't know. It's pretty hard to top a flying squirrel with its pretty sweet mascot.
That's a good point, yeah.
I mean, there's not much that really does beat that. Storm Chaser's pretty cool, though, I guess.
Was it Rocky, the Rocky the Flying Squirrel? Was that their mascot, or was it...
No, his name was Nazi.
Well, sure it was.
Even better.
Well, sure it was. Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's funny.
Outstanding. And I also have here on our notes, high-ranking educational staff here is that you're a Harry Potter fan. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Said with pride.
Outstanding.
Yeah, proud of it.
What part of Hogwarts would you be assigned to? Where would the choosing hat put you?
I don't know. I mean, I could be like Harry Potter and ask to be assigned to the Gryffindor house, so I'd probably just do that. I'd try to follow in his footsteps.
Sure, reliever. Doesn't that automatically kind of put you in the Slytherin camp, or have I told too much?
Sure. No, not too much. No, I'd probably want to be in the Gryffindor house. I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be in the Hufflepuff. That's
no, yeah, Hufflepuff. No. That's not going to work. That's
might as well be a White Sock.
All right. Well, back to baseball.
Back to real life.
Ryan, you went to LSU for college, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you on the same team as Lewis Coleman? Is that correct?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah. Have you talked to him since you got traded to the Royals? What's the contact been like? You looking forward to getting back and working with him a little bit?
Yeah, he was one of the first people to call me, you know, after the trade and congratulate me and stuff like that. And I've talked to him a little bit here and there. He's a pretty popular guy around Baton Rouge, so he's a little hard to get a hold of sometimes. But no, I've talked to him, and I'm pretty excited about, you know, playing with him again and actually having someone I actually know there, because now I don't have any friends in this Royals organization, so it'll be nice to have one person at least I know.
Who else called you?
I'm trying to think. I obviously heard from the GM, and then the assistant GM, and then the strength coach. And I think that's it so far. They said in the next couple of days, one of the head pitching coordinating. I'm real bad with names, so I forgot his name.
The GM's Dayton Moore.
Yeah, well, I remember that. I was talking about the
pitching.
Right.
The
pitching coordinator. So
it's okay.
And then I feel a little stupid, but
I don't know it either. So yeah. I probably should, but I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just changed. They're actually doing some organizational changes. We have a new minor league pitching coordinator and a new pitching coach at the major league level. So
yeah,
you're kind of going to get right in there, kind of fresh start for everybody. Have you talked with Jonathan Sanchez since the trade, or do you have much contact with some of those guys at the major league level from the minors?
No, I haven't talked to him at all. I met him last year when I was in big league camp, but I don't have his phone number. I haven't contacted him or anything like that.
Every report we've seen is that you're going to be in Omaha. It'll be your first part of AAA. Mm-hmm. What kind of adjustments have you made in-game adjustments when you're pitching? Because you've pitched some at AA last year, but mostly mm-hmm. you've been at the A level. So if mm-hmm. you're going to start in AAA, what do you do to prepare yourself for some of those guys?
Not too much changes. The big difference I've noticed from especially A ball to AA is just kind of the speed of the game. It speeds up a little bit. Things happen a little quicker. It's just one of those things where you have to sometimes in game, you know, step off the back of the mound, just kind of slow things down, because once they start speeding up on you, then you're going to start being in some trouble.
Dave Darby, 46, who is in our chat room at mm-hmm. RoyalManReport.com, he had a question for you. What's your most embarrassing moment in the minors?
Oh, let's see. I'm trying to think. I haven't had anything that bad.
No pranks with the flying squirrel.
Oh no!
You mean no, Nutsy?
I almost ran out into a game. They decided not to tell me that they put a bubble on my hat, and I almost ran into the game from the bullpen one time with a bubble on my hat. That was probably
oh great.
That probably would have been first.
See, they do that to me here as well. Hey Ryan, hang on the line for a little bit. We're gonna go take a quick break. Be about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. We'll talk Twitter and other kind of nonsense. We'll see you on the other side on the Royal Man Report.
Tell me if this might describe your situation. You're a Royals fan. You have been your whole life. It's been a long road, but you think the team is about to turn the corner. But then, it's the winter, and your wife starts to nag you about how much football you're watching. She says she wants to be fair. She says you need to rake the leaves. Suddenly, everything you've worked for is all on the table. the television, the DVR, the case of beer. Might I suggest to you another alternative? You need to go down and have a cold beverage at Kelly's Westport Inn. Hell, bring the wife along. If it doesn't work out, it's been named one of the top places to pick up single guys. Maybe you'll both get lucky. Whatever you do, get out of the house. Get down to Kelly's Westport Inn. The choice of a laid-back bar is an important one, and should not be made solely on podcast advertising alone. Kelly's Westport Inn and the Royal Man Report, partners you can count on.
And welcome back to the Royal Man Report. We are having a good time in studio, and that's because we have a special guest on the line. We're here for another segment with Ryan Verdugo, one of the newer members of the Kansas City Royals, part of the Melky Cabrera trade that got us Jonathan Sanchez and Ryan Verdugo. A couple of left-handed pitchers. So we're talking about, gosh, everything. Flying squirrels, Harry Potter.
Nutsy.
Actual baseball. So, but one of the things that we want to talk about in the second segment, right after the trade, Ryan, you got all kinds of Royals fans, I think, following you on Twitter. You're one of the more active people on there. What's it, do you find as the best part of Twitter as a baseball player?
It just kind of gives you a chance to interact with fans, you know, that you wouldn't normally have a chance to. Cause sometimes at the games, you know, you before the games, you know, you can go out there and sign autographs and stuff like that, and you don't really get to get out and talk to people all that much or answer any questions. So this kind of gives them ground, you know, get to know you a little more on a personal level.
Now, Ryan's Twitter handle is Teach Me to Dougie11, and it's here in the chat room, and we'll post it online. Tell us a little bit about the Twitter handle. We're very intrigued.
Well, my last name obviously is Verdugo, and one of my nicknames is Doogie, and so I just tried to come up with a kind of a creative play on words that would make someone chuckle, and I think I did a pretty successful job at that.
Oh, no question about that. Yeah, you are.
Yeah, even though I'm not really good at the Dougie, still.
Is anyone good at the Dougie? Can you be good at the Dougie is the question?
Well, you've got to be taught. That's the thing.
Yeah, you got to be taught.
There you go.
I'm still waiting for someone to teach me. So.
Hence the title. He needs someone to teach me.
Couldn't it have been Teach Me to Verdugo?
It could have been that, but I like this one. And plus, I think you only get a certain amount of characters.
We have
I think that one was too long.
We have a fairly robust Twitter community for Royals fans, and so immediately we were already planning Dougie Night or Doogie Night out at the K and T-shirts and all kinds of good stuff. So we are ready for that.
Yeah.
So one of the things back in May, Chris and I got to go down to Kauffman Stadium and talk to some players, and one of them is Bruce Chen, who's another lefty, and I think on your Twitter profile you mentioned that you throw with the wrong hand. Left-handers are kind of notorious for being a little weird, a little off, and Bruce Chen is definitely that. He's kind of been the class clown over the last few years. So if he re-signs with the Royals and you get to see him at spring training or something, I mean, you guys might have to have some kind of a prank off or something, I think. Do you ever run into, you know, any other is the left-hander thing, is that true? Is that a real thing? Are they all goofy?
Well, a lot of the left-handers are a little bit different. And I don't know, I think of myself as a little more of a normal lefty, but it's probably not true.
What's the Harry Potter fandom is what it is. That's what makes you normal, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's mainstream, I think. Yeah, exactly. I think it counts. So part of the Twitter following, and right away, I think you got a new avatar for your Twitter, and that was provided by Aaron Stilley, who is at Royals Heritage. Good fan of ours, good guy out there on the Royals Twitter sphere. How many followers have you picked up since joining the Royals? What's the general tone from those guys, from the new followers?
The day I got traded, I think I was at 840 followers or 860, somewhere around there. And then now I am currently at 1,600 and something.
Yeah.
So I've pretty much about doubled my followers, which put a smile on my face.
Well, the show will likely get you maybe two or three more.
There you go.
It doesn't go out to a whole lot of folks. Yeah.
But every little bit helps.
Yeah, exactly.
What was the reaction when you were with the Giants? Was there quite the same following, or was it as rabid? Because I think for Royals fans, we're kind of hard up for a winner. We don't have much else to do but sit on the internet and talk about what the Royals could be rather than, you know, the Giants won the World Series. So they kind of got there. So is there, have you seen any kind of difference, or is it just baseball fans or baseball fans all over the place?
No, I think both fan bases are pretty passionate. So I feel like they're both kind of almost one and the same. Like they interact with me a lot, and you know, a lot of the Royals fans are starting to interact a lot. So it's been a pretty good experience overall, I think.
Well, as part of our research staff, we have been reading some previous tweets, and one of our questions would be, we've got a couple of wonderful moms that listen to the show. JP's golf mom is one of them, and we want to know what you have against mom jeans. What's up with that?
You know, it's just an awkward look. I mean, they're hiked up to your belly button. It just
Where do you buy mom jeans anyway? Where
I don't know.
Where are those sold?
The store that says mom jeans. I don't know the answer.
Mom jeans are us.
They're like a thing that says like regular jeans, like low rise, and then there's a section tucked way in the back that just says mom jeans.
They should have a bouncer back there or something.
I think I've seen that at Old Navy. That sounds right.
They're always that off kind of light blue color. They're not your normal blue jean color too.
Stone.
They have the heart
stone
embroidered
blue
on the back.
Yeah,
outstanding. Now we want to know the biggest question that I think we really want to know is who would be the better baseball tweeter, you or Lomo Marlins?
I haven't really read any of his tweets. I'll have to check that out and kind of get back to you on that one. I'll have to do my research. I haven't looked at his, but I heard he's a good tweeter. A lot of guys on the team said, like, that I've played with, said that he's real active on there.
He's outstanding. He was in he was at one of the All-Star caravans a couple of weeks ago in Asia, and so he normally tweets morning, noon, and night, but all of his tweets were coming in at like 2 in the morning. And so when you got up, you got to hear what he did in Thailand and, you know, Laos and all those other places. So, he is very likely one of the more passionate Major League Baseball, and then, in fact, all of professional athletics. He's probably – and it gets him in trouble a lot too. Have any tweets gotten you sent to the principal's office yet?
No, not me, but it happened to one of my buddies. He said something – that was probably not very smart to say about the whole Joe Pa situation. I think he deactivated his Twitter for a few days to let that kind of blow over.
Yeah,
but
that's probably a good.
I try to have a little more savvy than that. I'm just messing with. He's one of my good friends, so I can mess with him about that. But no, I haven't said anything that's really got me in trouble.
Speaking of stuff like that, Ryan, how does from an organizational standpoint, how do they kind of handle the Twitter account? Something that we don't really know about. Do they talk to you guys about social media and how to use it and to kind of be careful? Do they have any sort of anything on that, or do they just kind of they only show up when somebody screws up on it?
No, they have. We had a meeting with the Giants every spring training, and it was about that whole kind of social network, all that kind of media stuff, and they just said, you know, just be smart about it, because whatever you put up there is going to get out and people are going to read it and you're going to get judged whether it's how you meant it or someone took it out of context. And so I know that people monitor the Twitter, so I'm sure if you say something that does get you in trouble, they'll be on the phone with you pretty quick. But, I mean, I think they kind of let it slide a little bit on stuff because they know the fans want to interact, and it's probably good for the ball club, I mean, as well, if there's a big fan following.
Yeah, Michael and I were both part of a Twitter-invited, night at the Royals, type of blog at the K is what they called it. And we were talking with their PR staff, and they are actively looking for athletes to start engaging via Twitter. And they think it's just a good way to give back. But at the same time, if you give, 100 athletes a microphone or a cell phone or something, you're going to get a couple knuckleheads that say something crazy.
Yeah. I'd try not to be that one, I guess.
Yeah, it's true.
There you go.
Yeah, I think when you start getting into Twitter, it's you never know, because everybody's going to have something. But what are some other ballplayers that you follow that you find yourself retweeting or messing with on there a lot of the times?
Well, one of the big Twitter guys, he's with it. He got traded to the Indians, I believe. Thomas Neal, he's on there a lot.
He was formerly of the Giants as well.
Yeah, he was. He's a big one. He's got like 6,000 some followers. I'm trying to get to his level, but I'm struggling a little bit.
We'll help.
Zach Wheeler, he was a former Giants guy. He's on there pretty active a lot. And then one of my roommates who I always bust his chops, Johnny Manel, I go back and forth with him a lot.
Well, you want to make sure you start following Haas3KC, who is hopefully soon to be your starting first baseman. That's Eric Hosmer, runner-up for Rookie of the Year this year. And so hopefully you can get up to the Major League Club next year and this upcoming year, actually, finish even higher in the Rookie of the Year voting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's actually been probably the most active Royal on Twitter, and just in the last – you can kind of tell just in the last month he's kind of figured it out. And he gave away a couple of bats away, a little contest and whatever, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, he came up with he wanted a group of fans to come up with a nickname for themselves. So, you know, what do you have a fan club, and do they have a nickname, or is that something that, you know, is that on the to-do list for 2012?
I think that's something to add to the to-do list. I don't think I have a fan club really that I know of or any.
It's just the three of us right now. It's
the Doogies. That's right there. That's it. It's got to be it, right?
The Hufflepuffs.
There you go.
The Nutsies.
Very nice. Nice job.
We end up going off the rails on the show a lot.
I got to keep things interesting. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's always good to have, you know, someone to kind of help us help us go there.
Well, Ryan, have you one kind of final question as far as Omaha or Kansas City? Have you heard much about the town? Are you kind of looking forward to being here? Have you ever been? Have you spent much time in the Midwest?
I've been to Omaha once, and that was in 2008 when I was with LSU. We went to the World Series, but I didn't really get. I mean, I know there's an awesome zoo there.
Yeah,
there is an awesome zoo.
That is very true.
Yeah.
It was actually kind of funny because my sister, who's 2 years younger than me, when I was there in 08, so that would have put her at 19, me and my roommate played a joke on her, and we told her that the Omaha Zoo had the only live unicorn in captivity. We had her going for about 4 hours that there was actually a live unicorn there.
Oh, nice. Nice. Well, thank you, Ryan, so much. That's all the time we have for this.
Welcome to the Royals, man.
Welcome to the
Royals.
Good
to have you.
Glad to have you.
I appreciate it.
Teach me to Dougie11 on Twitter. Go follow him right now. We'll be right back.
Trimming the tree.
Opening presents.
Plaza lights.
Sitting on Santa's lap.
Christmas morning.
Christmas carolers.
Holiday decorations.
The wonder in a child's eye.
Sleigh bells.
Lighting the candles.
Snow days.
Holiday decorations.
Long lines at Walmart.
Your kids' holiday program.
Snow days.
0 degrees.
Christmas music on the radio just after Halloween.
Shoveling snow.
Snow days.
Scraping frosty windows.
They're out of the dolls you wanted.
Your in-laws are here.
You got me socks.
Black Friday.
Personal property taxes due.
Your in-laws are still here.
Your mother-in-law taped Whitney instead of the bowl game.
Grandpa farted.
Had enough Christmas? Tired of the holidays? Kelly's Westport Inn has every bowl game on this season. There's plenty of cold beers on tap, a private heated roof you can put your mother-in-law in. It's just down the street at 500 Westport Road. Christmas is just a little easier at Kelly's Westport Inn. Merry Christmas and a happy holidays from the Royal Man Report.
Big Ned Minute.
Oh, who did that?
So they want to rename Kauffman Stadium. And what's the problem? I don't understand the outrage. You're telling me if your buddy was offered $1 million to stamp Coca-Cola on his car, you'd be angry if he got the offer? You'd be even more angry if he took it? What kind of friend is that? What right do you have to be mad that the Royals are wanting to pick up an extra few million dollars from Sprint? A couple million dollars, by the way, that could go to a new pitcher. Have you seen our starting rotation? Good grief. We're supposed to be fans, not executives. We cheer when we win, we're sad when we lose. But really? Outrage at a business decision? I disagree. This has been your Kelly's Westport Inn sponsored Fake Ned Minute.
Ned Minute.
Oh, who did that?
And welcome back to the Royal Man Report. We've got a breaking news update brought to you by Fake Ned Yost.
Breaking news. So I'm searching for Teach Me to Dougie11, and I'm guessing his sister, who at the time was 19, she is Everdugo76, EverDugo76, who is apparently listening to us, or had been listening to us. Just thanked Ryan for throwing her under the bus about the unicorn. So that was nice.
Well,
thanks for listening in. Appreciate it.
Yay.
Dougie, there you go.
Yeah, we got the nice drop.
Yeah, drop it in.
The white man's overbite.
And there it is.
Very, very cool of Ryan Verdugo to come on the show. Go follow him on Twitter. Teach me to Dougie11, D-U-G-I is how you spell that. Yeah, very cool. It's always cool to get an actual player on here and you know, let them kind of give us their insight and everything, especially when there's somebody who's going to interact with the fans like that. So definitely give him a follow. I told him in between segments that we're going to try to get him to 2,000. So if you're listening to the show, go follow him now. You know, once we get to 2,000, I guess you could always unfollow him if you didn't want to, but I want to say that we got him to 2,000 and then we'll go from there. So let's switch gears just a little bit. The Chiefs are playing tomorrow. So, Jeff, what do you expect from the Chiefs tomorrow against the New England Patriots?
I almost did it with a straight face.
It's too tough. I'm going to go ahead and say not much. Yeah. We're looking at, I mean, for people that think the backup quarterback's always the most popular person in any town, right? As far as football teams go. Well, for those people that were wanting Matt Castle to be pushed aside for our backup quarterback, you got your wish. So we're going to see what it's like. And I have absolutely no faith in Tyler Pacheco. Seems like a great guy. He's really smart. He can probably make lots of good decisions. But if we're talking athletic football skills, he didn't got many. So besides, I mean, the Chiefs have just been ravaged by injuries. It's a long season. It's only going to get longer. Mm-hmm. And next week is not. I mean, there's that always optimistic Chiefs fan that into me that says, you know what, maybe we can catch these Patriots by surprise. Maybe Tyler Pacheco is going to make some good plays. You never know. But in this case, I think we do. There's too much on the other side for the Chiefs to put up much of a fight.
Yeah, at a certain point, you're without Charles. You're without Matt Castle. You're without
Moyaki
and Eric Berry, and the Patriots are just going to be better anyway. Ooh, doesn't look good.
And Brandon Carr and Brandon Flowers are both a little banged up. I think they'll play, but they were limited in practice last week. Not looking good.
I know these things to be true. By 6:30, Chris Berman will have really royally annoyed me.
Right.
By 7:15, Stuart Scott will have royally annoyed me. And by about the end of the first quarter, the Chiefs will have royally annoyed me. So it's going to be a night of annoyance.
I'm actually looking forward to the massive hyperbole John Gruden's going to come up with to talk about how bad the Chiefs actually are. That should be interesting. And he's had a lot of experience with bad Chiefs teams. So.
Oh, God help them if they end up somewhere and, you know, actually staying close.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, look at the heart of this Tyler Pacheco, Jaws. He's great.
He just fumbled again. Wait, there, Gruden. Yeah.
And the over-under for how many times we're going to hear the coach's son remark about Tyler Pacheco is going to be just astronomical. That's the only that's the only bit of information they have on this kid, and they're just going to blast it all day.
What was the deal this week right after he got put into the starting role? Receiver for the Cardinals,
Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry Fitzgerald called into 610. And was like pumping him up. What was that?
They were.
You got to have somebody call in, and
it's like somebody else's.
It's like having my sister call in about something else. So it's kind of crazy. So
yeah, they. For those that don't know, Tyler Pacheco was the quarterback.
Oh, we've got
We have our first call on the Royal Man Report.
Call.
We've never gotten a call.
Welcome.
All right.
Who is it? Well, hello, caller.
Well, hello. Fantastic job, you guys. Long time.
Oh, hell, it's just
caller.
Troy.
We were all excited.
God.
We thought it was Dayton Moore coming to talk to us about how to Dougie and all that stuff. How's it going, Troy?
It's going well. How are you guys? Hello from Jefferson City, Missouri, where I am at a Beat Me Halfway Roller Derby Boot Camp.
Toronto's later.
Calling some scrimmages.
Slightly north of Toronto. Slightly south of Toronto.
Right. Toronto's later, I
we
think.
Had you, we reported... Poor reporting on Michael Engel's part. We had you in Toronto today.
Yeah, it was a busy day.
Toronto is December 1st through the 4th. I will be calling the World Cup of Roller Derby. I'm one of 25 members of an announced team that will be calling every match of an international tournament, the first of its kind, for roller derby, putting roller derby on the map as the sport that it should be, on the way to someday becoming an Olympic sport. But I'm very honored to be one of 19 Americans that are going to call this tournament, along with a member from Australia, one from New Zealand, four from Canada, and then the 19 Americans, including absolutely amazing roller derby announcers that I've looked up to since I started doing this 3 years ago for a Dead Girl Derby. So it's a great honor for me, and it's a big thank you goes out to the internet community and the roller derby community that came together to help me raise the money, because I just found out last week that they needed me, And apparently they've been sending me emails for the last month, and I haven't received them. So
I'm pretty excited.
I will be, yeah, I know, really crappy. I will be off the show that first Sunday in December as I call some roller derby from out there. So I'm sure you guys had an absolutely amazing interview with Ryan Verdugo today. And
we did, but
I thank you guys.
But more importantly, Troy, are you climbing a flight of stairs right now?
No, it's just really cold.
Okay, all right. Do we need to come help, or are you all right?
I've been working a mic for the better part of 6 hours. So
we did. We've got three or four names for Ryan Verdugo's fan club already working in. His sister is his sister listened to your show tonight. So.
She believes in unicorns.
That. She believes in unicorns at the Omaha Zoo.
Yeah. So it was pretty good show so far. But Canada,
hey, Canada,
that's going to put roller derby, put it in Detroit. Put it in Texas. Come on.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with it. It is going to be pretty dominated by the Americans. So you want it to at least give the perception that it's gotten to a point where it is a world tour, which it is. It's just not as strong internationally. I mean, the UK brings out some great roller derby teams in London and other places, but they're going to have their hands full with this team of Americans that are going to suit up for Team USA to come to the World Cup. It's going to be amazing, and I know people are probably at home laughing and saying, you know,
no,
roller derby's not a real sport, whatever
talk.
Else, but you watch what these girls do, and you watch how they get hurt, and they take hits, and they do everything that you see in any other sport, and they play hard, and they're all volunteers. So it's a one-of-a-kind amateur sport, and you can definitely check it out on DNN.com. They're going to carry all of the games live. I'll make sure to announce where I will be calling and if my games will be carried on DNN or if my voice will be carried on DNN, because DNN may be bringing their own announcers, so we're unsure on that. Also, next week won't have a live show if you guys didn't talk about this, but do make sure you pay attention to the website, watch the Twitter account, because we will have a show up for you. It just will not be a live show. What else is going on, gentlemen?
Well, Martin Steele wants to know if that's going to be on ESPN8, the Ocho.
Pretty much. We're working on it. I mean, I really do believe someday that roller derby will be carried on some ESPN station or ESPN.com or ESPN360, whatever they want to call it. Not there yet, but someday.
Best part about the UK roller derby girls, already missing teeth.
There you go.
That's a little rough there,
capital
sir.
Statement, sir.
Now, since you're announcing and you're a professional announcer and we've got a professional radio guy here with Aaron Gnurk and us, give us something that you said this evening, or have you done your gig yet and you're on your way home, or what's going on?
Well, I'm allowing somebody else to announce for a little while as I'm making this phone call. That's why I wasn't on earlier, is because we've been running behind. But somebody stepped in for this game that's going on right now to allow me to make this call. But, you know, it's hard to simulate a derby call. I mean, you get really fun things with the names because they do go by other names to give, you know, the mystique of having, you know, an alter ego. And, I mean, me of all people should know about alter egos with Casey Roman.
I was going to say.
There's no alter egos on this show.
Derby, yeah, no alter egos. No fake Ned Yost or friggin' Ingold or Jeff Reports. We wouldn't know anything
about
alter egos.
Hey, Jeff Report is 100% authenticated. Thank you.
I would say that's legit. He's the one who has the legit one.
But I go by Colin Mayhem. For those of you that haven't followed me on my personal Twitter, I do use my roller derby name, which is Colin Mayhem. And I get to call great things, like I get to call hits by guys named Mario Slamdretti and any number of wild and crazy names you can think of for the ladies. Some are more radio appropriate than others, and that's going to be the biggest hurdle for roller derby, is getting names that aren't totally inappropriate. But, you know, we had Ian Eisenbeck here today. We had Rhea F. and Sunshine. We had, trying to think of some of the other ones. We had.
I think fake Ned Yost needs to play in roller derby, is what I think. I've seen enough 70s movies to know that fake Ned Yost needs to be roller derbying.
Terrifying.
It reminds me of the it reminds me of the XFL when they allowed them to put whatever names they wanted on the back of their jerseys.
Any
he hate me's in roller derby?
Hey, you have an Ocho Cinco in football. How's it any different than anything else?
That's legally changed to his name, though. That's a thing.
That's a fact.
Well, I think some of these girls would do that, too, to make it happen. You are seeing roller derby going back to natural last names, too, for some teams. So it's hard to say. But, you know, it's been a fun time down here in Jeff City. It's the first time down here for me. So who drove by the Capitol, didn't have time to go in or anything. It's honestly been a working weekend for me, as I've been pretty busy the last couple of days. And then, of course, after parties are where it's at with roller derby. But
Again,
I challenge you, if you want to put on a pair of skates and see how you can take a hit, there's a men's team in Kansas City. It's the Cowtown Butchers, and they play at the River Roll where my Dead Girls play. So check out Cowtown Butchers. I believe it's CowtownButchers.com and DeadGirlDerby.com. But you can lay some, those Cowtown Butchers, they'll hit you around for a line. Heck, Fake Ned, you know how hard those girls hit. You came out to a remote that we had with the guys from Three Guys in a Garage, and those girls were beating up on you a little bit.
Hey, that was the highlight of my year right there. I did. And they were nice ladies, and they seem like they're having fun, and they wear a lot of spandex, and it's, you know, hey, if you're into that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I was mocking you and rolling my eyes until I realized that Aaron had me on camera. So I'm going to just apologize in advance for whatever you see tomorrow when you roll back the tape.
Well, I am going to get out of your way. My signal down here in Jeff City is not the best for
That's
some
good.
Reason, and I don't know if it's the weather or what, but I'm going to also jump off the line before I have to send out some girls to beat a Fake Ned Jost, because it's definitely headed that direction for him right now.
Well, he deserves it.
Well, send us to break with your announcer voice.
Well, we're at the end of the show, so check us out next week right here on the Royal Man Report. We'll be back here, not live, but definitely check out the show on Sunday. And then in 2 weeks, you will hear us right here on the RoyalManReport.com, 7 p.m. every Sunday. Check us out, you know, and... For Fake Ned Jost.
That sounds a lot. That sounds exactly like your normal voice.
Well, have you ever noticed that my normal voice is kind of an announcer voice?
Aha. Uh-huh.
Hence why he was selected.
He's kind of right there.
You're right, Troy. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Thanks for checking in, Troy.
Thank you, Troy.
Keep him in line.
Hey, thanks for all the hard work you guys are doing. And thank you to the chat room. I was trying to jump in there, but my computer died on me. Apparently, I've been using it too much today. Thanks to everybody that was in there. I saw 13 different people in the chat room. That's a nice-sized room for us. And to the several hundred listeners we have every week, thank you so much for finding us entertaining, because God knows somebody should. So thank you very much. Thank you to all the hard work that you guys do there, Aaron Kinnerk and Ned and Mike and Jeff and all the great stuff you guys have done this week and will do here in the next couple of weeks. And I will see you guys back live in studio in 3 weeks on, I believe, December 10th. So until then, catch us on the replay and catch the live show in 2 weeks with Mike and Chris and Jeff. And until then, I will see you on the other side. Bye, guys.
Ding.
Had to drop it in. There it goes. Thanks, Troy.
So does that mean I have to switch to my Fake Ned voice?
Do you have a Fake
Ned
voice?
Okay, wait. Let me switch it. Okay. How is that better?
There's Fake Ned.
There he is.
There we're missing you the whole show.
I got the transformation. It's just,
that's eerie.
It's like Clark Kent taking off his glasses. You can't even tell the difference.
This is where Troy would say, "I'm going to punch you in the jeans. You shut up."
Any final thoughts
on
the Chiefs?
On the Chiefs? No. I just
that was way more entertaining than the Chiefs are going to be tomorrow.
All right. As usual, we go off the rails when Fake Ned's in the studio, which is pretty much every week. So thanks, everybody, for listening out there. We're going to be back in a couple weeks with a live show again. Kevin Goldstein is going to be our guest for the next show that you hear after this one. So you want to check that out. Check it out at kingsofcoffin.com, royalmanreport.com. Check it out. Go to ramblingmorons.com for Fake Ned's stuff. Go to the Jeff Report. Is it .blogspot?
Yes.
.com. The Jeff Report. .blogspot.com. Thanks for listening. Have a good night. What you trying to be yourself for?